Mr. President. You said that the pandemic is disappearing, but we lost 6,000 Americans this week. And just in this room, you have dozens of people. You're not following the guidelines in New Jersey, which say you should not have more.
No, they don't have just a political activity.
Why are you saying
you're wrong on that, because it's a political activity. They have exceptions, political activity, and it's also a peaceful protest. So when you have, and as you know, they asked if they could be, you know, they, a number of, and to me, they look like they all have, pretty much all have masks on, but, you know, you have an exclusion in the law. It says peaceful protest or political activity, right? In fact, specifically, yeah, it says exactly political activity or peaceful protest. And you could call it political activity, but I'd call it peaceful protest, because they heard you were coming up and they know the news is fake. They understand it better than anybody.
Something is going on. Some of us see it. Some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
Fellow Americans and citizens of the world, now it is our turn to shine. Wherever we are, we will become the plan when we choose to reject what they called globalism. We recognize the words they use to bend us to their will, and we say no more. It's time to turn off the media, follow your instincts, trust yourself, and be the plan. May God bless America and the world.
Imagine if President Trump had written an op-ed or gone on TV with a message to those who might be subpoenaed by, oh, let's say Adam Schiff or Jerry Nadler, and he said, refuse to cooperate. Can you even imagine the fevered cries of obstruction? Of course, in the chess game that was the phony Trump-Russia investigation, they managed to set it up so that virtually everything President Trump said or did, even if it was well within his authority as president, could be viewed as obstruction of justice. But Andrew Weissmann, former special counsel of Robert Mueller's infamous pit bull attack squad, who specially is withholding exculpatory evidence, has quite arguably obstructed justice himself. Daniel Chayton from the Washington Examiner reports, and I quote, Andrew Weissmann, a former Justice Department official who was known as Mueller's pit bull during the Russia investigation, struck a sense of urgency in a New York Times op-ed on Wednesday, noting that there are 90 days until an election contest that will pit President Trump against former Vice President Joe Biden. He wrote, along with former Defense Department Special Counsel Ryan Goodman, that U.S. Attorney John Durham's criminal inquiry into the Russia investigation and U.S. Attorney John Bash's investigation into unmasking requests by Obama administration officials targeting Trump associates show that Attorney General Bill Barr is poised to trample written policy, that no action be influenced by politics, and an unwritten norm urging officials to defer publicly charging are taking any other overt investigative steps or disclosures that could affect a coming election. Boy, that's a heck of a long sentence, isn't it? Well, Justice Department employees, they wrote, in meeting their ethical and legal obligations, should be well advised not to participate in any such effort. Just as Attorney General Barr's critics fear an October surprise of sorts, often pointing to how Barr has already said that Durham's findings are very troubling, timing is also a mounting concern for the president's allies, who say the federal prosecutor's work will likely get buried should Trump lose his bid for re-election. But Weissmann and Goodman argued there's no urgency to make any disclosures or bring charges that they say could be brought in November after the election. So the reason Weissmann and Goodman are making such a stink is that they don't want either of the reports to come out before the election. So they maintain putting it out before the election would be political. an attempt to interfere with the election. But I say that keeping a completed report under wraps until after the election would be political. A calculated attempt to interfere with the election by keeping voters in the dark. Likewise, interfering with the investigation so that the report can't be completed in time, that would be political. Sounds like obstruction to me. Well, what can be done if Mr. Barr seeks to take actions in service of the president's political ambitions, they wrote. Employees who witness or who are asked to participate in such political actions, who all swore an oath to the Constitution and must obey department policies, can refuse, report, and if necessary, resign. Other models include speaking with Congress under subpoena or resigning and then communicating directly to the public. Reputable organizations are at the ready to advise whistleblowers about the risk and benefits of pursuing these paths. End quote. Now, they're probably talking about that same law firm that protected the anonymous whistleblower that kicked off Trump's impeachment. How convenient. Of course, if Barr does anything at all that happens to benefit Trump, it must have been done in service to the president's political ambitions. One big takeaway from Weissmann's behavior is that he must think these investigations found some really, really bad stuff. And another thing of note, the media drooling over Weissmann's call for obstruction of justice instead of denouncing it for the sake of justice is just another example of their implicit biases against Republicans generally. And there's a staggering new poll that's out from Gallup and the Knight Foundation, and it reveals that most Americans aren't fooled by all this and makes clear that people weren't as outraged as the media thought they would be when President Trump called them the enemy of the people. According to the poll of 20,000 adults surveyed, a significant majority had doubts about the news media delivering factual, nonpartisan information. An overwhelming 86% of Americans see at least a significant amount of bias in the media. 73% say there's too much bias in the reporting of news stories that are supposed to be objective. They don't buy that it's unintentional or just their subjective perceptions. 54% of those polled believe the media knowingly misrepresent facts, and 28% think they just make up facts entirely. As for all the divisiveness that the media blame on Donald Trump, 48% of Americans say the reporters deserve a great deal of blame for our deep political divisions, and another 36% let them off easy with only a moderate amount of the blame. Now, you might not be surprised to learn that Republicans express more negative sentiments about every aspect of the media's performance than Democrats. Maybe that's because you're less likely to be negative about the people who are biased toward your side. But then to approve of their bias is to admit they're biased. And since 86% of Americans agree they are, and 86% aren't Republicans, that means that a lot of Democrats must know that the news they're watching isn't objective or trustworthy, but they approve of it anyway. These Americans are known as MSNBC and CNN viewers. But even though it seems they approve of the bias in their news sources, at least they admit it exists. And as they say, admission is the first step to recovery. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the channel below and clicking the notification bell. And leave a like and share this video with all your friends, family, and even your enemies.
Back during the Cold War, we had Kremlinologists, and they studied everything that they could find, pictures, official notices, and so forth, to guess about what was happening in the Soviet Union. After all, it was a closed society. It had to really hunt and try to figure things out. Well, these days, I think we need Bidenologists, given that 95% at least of the time Biden and his campaign are completely closed off to any real questions or scrutiny. But every once in a while, Biden emerges and immediately starts to reveal his real agenda.
Some have said a Trump stance is a good one to counter China's influence. Would you keep the tariffs?
No. Hey, look, who said Trump's idea is a good one? We're going after China in the wrong way.
Well, For the entire 24-hour period that followed that exchange, his campaign and their media allies tried to clean it all up, claiming that Biden didn't really mean what he said on tariffs, that he'd get rid of them. Well, a Biden aide telling Bloomberg yesterday his position is unchanged. He would reevaluate the tariffs upon taking office. He was obviously responding to the notion that Trump's stance is a good one to counter China's influence. Nice try, kids, as if we didn't hear the word no in response to the question of whether he would keep the tariffs. Now, this is also where Bidenology comes in. Stay with me here. The day before that disastrous interview was released, Biden's team issued a statement that was supposedly written by the former VP himself. And what that means is that the statement was approved and vetted by his entire economic team. And it included the following key passage. Trump's phase one trade deal with China is failing badly. Even before the pandemic, Trump's go-it-alone trade war was hammering American workers, small businesses, and farmers. Well, we Bidenologists know that phrase, the go-it-alone trade war, sends an important signal to the swamp. It means that Biden will not use his authority as president to impose tariffs on China, and that he'll lift the tariffs that were imposed by President Trump. Furthermore, it means that he'll not take any actions against China unless they're supported by a significant bloc of other countries, which means, as a practical matter, the European Union. Now, you see, otherwise, he would be, quote, going it alone. That's exactly what he's saying he won't do. The Europeans are cutting deals left and right now with China, and they'll never agree to place tariffs on them, period. The Obama-Biden answer to China, I love saying O'Biden, back in 2015 was the nightmare TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And by the way, it was so unpopular back home that even Hillary Clinton, one of the most committed globalists who ever lived, said the TPP would kill jobs, and she ran against it. But Biden still believes in the TPP, though maybe with a few face-saving tweaks.
I would not rejoin the TPP as it was initially put forward. I would insist that we renegotiate pieces of that with the Pacific nations that we had in South America and North America so that we could bring them together to hold China accountable.
Oh, what gibberish. He can't even get the acronym right. It's TPP, Joe. And I wouldn't pay much attention to this whole renegotiation language. The other TPP countries would just say, why would we renegotiate something you and Obama already agreed to? And of course, they'd be right. You might see a few little changes here and there to help Biden politically, but then we'd be right back to a big push to join the job-killing TPP.
For 8 long years under Obama-Biden administration, American factory workers received nothing but broken promises and brazen sellouts and lost jobs. During the course of the next 4 years, we will bring our pharmaceutical and medical supply chains home. We're going to bring them home where they belong, and we'll end reliance on China.
The choice could not be clearer. You have a president in Trump who spent real political capital. He got unending grief in order to get leverage over China. And he forced them to change their ways or face being cut out of our markets altogether. Now, Biden's team has decided to destroy all of that leverage and return to the failed Obama approach of appeasement in trade policy. Now, they'll tell you that they intend to rally the world against China, but their own record shows that they have no chance of accomplishing that goal. This means a huge win for the CCP and a huge loss for American workers across the board.
Joe Biden's entire career has been a gift to the Chinese Communist Party, and Biden personally led the effort to give China permanent most favored nation status. And as vice president, Biden was a leading advocate of the Paris Climate Accord, which was unbelievably expensive to our country. Yet one more gift from Biden to the Chinese Communist Party.
It's a huge gift. Now, in short, you got to think about it this way. If you want to go back to the days of China first, America last, then Biden's your man. And if you like the idea of China unchecked, richer and more powerful than ever before, Biden's your guy. But if you like the idea of more goods made here in the USA, more jobs here, an America refusing to allow the communists to dominate the globe, then re-electing Donald Trump is an American necessity. And that's the angle.
Pipelines, all compelling, all things that are covered widely in the news. But at the same time in this country, there are a lot of things that don't get a lot of coverage. At this moment, the most compelling voice against abortion and Planned Parenthood is not a Republican. The most widely heard Christian evangelist in America is not ordained. Instead, he is a rapper married to a Kardashian who, by the way, everyone says is crazy. Kanye West is running for president, but that's not really the headline. The headline is that on core conservative issues, not political issues like legislation before the Congress, but on foundational questions about life and children and what happens when you die, no one with a national platform has been more honest or sincere or effective than Kanye West has been, maybe in generations. It's all pretty shocking, really. Talk about an unlikely messenger. But it's real. Check out West's Twitter feed if you haven't seen it. Not everything he says is conservative, far from it. Not everything he says is even intelligible. But when West talks about his faith and about the gift of human life, you start to ask yourself, why aren't there any elected Republicans who sound like that? They say they believe the same things, but if they actually do, why don't they talk like Kanye West does? And the answer, of course, is because they're afraid to. But West is not afraid. He doesn't have to be. He's too famous. He's made too much money. He sold something like 150 million albums over the past 20 years. And really, it's hard to cancel a guy like that. So what does the left do in response to Kanye West? How do you make Kanye West shut up? The short answer is you can't. So you work to discredit him. You go ad hominem. You ignore what he's saying. You attack him as a person. You don't engage with his ideas. You know you would lose if you tried that. So instead, you try to keep people from listening to him. It's an easier job when you're dealing with less famous people. Thanks to our centrally controlled internet, the left can usually silence dissent in an instant with the press of a button. But with prominent wrong thinkers like Kanye West, censorship requires a finer touch, more artistic flair. When the author J.K. Rowling had the gall to note that biological sex is a physical reality, not just a state of mind, Google couldn't simply wipe her off the internet. She's J.K. Rowling. She created Harry Potter. So the left had to destroy her more methodically. One British news site compared Rowling to the anti-Semite Richard Wagner and then dismissed her as, quote, deeply unpleasant. So multiply that attack by hundreds of stories, and over time, they are confident, and maybe they're right, that no one will ever listen to J.K. Rowling again. In Kanye West's case, they decided to attack him as mentally ill. You hear that a lot now, but it's a relatively new tactic. It was just a little over 4 years ago that CNN published a piece about Kanye West. They highlighted his most famous moments, like the time he interrupted Taylor Swift at the MTV Video Music Awards. CNN described all these incidents as, quote, controversial. But there was no mention of Kanye West being a danger, mentally ill. No, just controversial. Not a problem. And then West appeared to say something positive about Donald Trump, and everything changed in an instant. Kanye West became a babbling lunatic, the kind of guy who pulls imaginary insects out of the air and soils his own pants. A total nutcase. Watch.
Kanye West's event on Sunday, and you saw,
right.
At least I saw a man clearly in trouble.
We met David Bowen, a Democratic state representative, earlier this summer. Bowen telling CNN, it's sad to see a popular music artist like Kanye be used as a pawn to trick his own people and fans.
So new questions this morning about Kanye West's mental health after this tweet storm and so-called campaign rally.
You see that ignorance and asinine thought and behavior has been something that's risen to the top.
Whether a clearly vulnerable Mr. West is being used to try to siphon votes away from Joe Biden.
They're sad. They're concerned. He's in trouble. Oh, it's all so fake. The feigned concern, the oily fake empathy. Kanye is vulnerable, right? These people are actually worried, but they're not worried about Kanye West or his family. They don't care about them. They're worried about the threat that West poses to Democratic Party orthodoxy and therefore to their power. They don't say that out loud. They're liars. So instead, they continue to play the role of psychiatric nurse. Here's the guy whose job it is to get drunk on camera on New Year's Eve, letting Kanye West know that he's embarrassing himself and his dead mother.
What I saw was a minstrel show today. Him in front of all of these white people, mostly white people, embarrassing himself and embarrassing Americans, but mostly African Americans. And now all of a sudden, he is the person who represents the African American community. He doesn't. This was an embarrassment. Kanye's mother is rolling over in her grave.
He's defiling the memory of his mother. Sad. You'll notice that this group of cable news mental health experts may be deeply concerned about Kanye West, and yet for all of their apparent medical training, somehow they don't appear to notice that Joe Biden can no longer speak English. Joe's fine. He's not embarrassing anyone. Kanye West, by contrast, is deeply embarrassing to them, mostly because he's embarrassing to the Democratic Party. Here is someone who should be a Democrat calling out the most absurd lie that party tells. We care about black lives. That's why we want more abortion clinics in black neighborhoods. That's their position. It is insultingly stupid, and anyone who thinks about it knows that. When you love your kids, you want them to grow up and have children of their own. It's the main thing you want at that, and things like that. Last month on Twitter, West wrote that he had, quote, cried at the thought of aborting my firstborn. I'm concerned for the world that feels you shouldn't cry about this subject. That's for sure. It's obvious. But when Kanye West says it, people might actually listen to him. And that's a massive problem for the left. Here he is last month.
My mom saved my life. My dad wanted to abort me. My mom saved my life. There would have been no Kanye West because my dad was too busy.
When was the last time you heard someone famous say something like that in public? Let's see, never. And then West went on to point out some of the more inconvenient facts that the progressive left wants you to forget. Quote, over 22,500,000 black babies have been aborted over the past 50 years, West tweeted. See, the media said, he's not well. Pray for him. Of course, what West said was factually true. What's also true is that Planned Parenthood was founded by someone who wanted fewer black people. That's why she founded Planned Parenthood. Her name was Margaret Sanger, and she once wondered aloud about the appearances of, quote, exterminating the Negro population, end quote. It's disgusting. You can find that on Google. West has. He knows it. And learning it clearly made him rethink his worldview. Here he is from a couple of years ago.
One of the moves that I love that liberals tried to do, the liberal would try to control a black person through the concept of racism because they know that we are very proud, emotional people. So when I said I like Trump to like someone that's liberal, they'll say, oh, but he's racist. You think racism can control me? Oh, that don't stop me. That's an invisible wall.
Oh, no wonder they hate him. Now, to be clear, Kanye West is not a normal person. And we're not saying he is. He has said out loud he sometimes suffers from something he calls a sprained brain. We're not sure what that is. We're not pretending to be mental health experts. And maybe Kanye West is crazy. We don't know. But it's also true, and wise people know this, that at a time like this, a lunatic time, sometimes it is only the crazy people who can see the world clearly.
Wash my hands. I don't touch my face. I stay at home, shelter in place. Social distance, don't go to work. I wear a mask and gloves, I stay away from church. I avoid old folks. And should I sneeze, I do it in my elbow or up my sleeve. 6 feet apart, kids can go back to school. I'm washing my hands like a raccoon with OCD. I've watched Hulu, Roku, Netflix, PBS, and the BBC. I've taken down all my mirrors, and I'm sick of what I see. 2 more weeks of quarantine will be the death of me.
The death of me.
I risk a trip to the grocery store to buy TP and a few things more. But when I get there, all I can find is 16 honey buns and some Mad Dog wine. I'm washing my hands like a raccoon with OCD. I've watched Hulu, Roku, Netflix, PBS, and the BBC. I've taken down all my mirrors, 'cause I'm sick of what I see. Yeah, 2 more weeks of this quarantine's gonna be the death of me.
The death of me.
You know, they say this is war, but we don't have to storm Omaha Beach or Pork Chop Hill, and we just lay here on the couch and watch TV. Whew, I'd rather volunteer for a high-risk commando raid to parachute into Wuhan and find that little fella that ordered that bat soup. I know I'm talking out of my head, saying crazy stuff over and over like, yes, dear, yes, dear. At breakfast, I meant to say, honey, please pass me the pepper. Well, what slipped out was, you crazy woman, you've ruined my life. Of course, I immediately apologized as soon as I regained consciousness.
Riding on Obama's coattails, biding his time till he derails. Anticipating his next fail, one more bump on the campaign trail. Another gaffe, another laugh, oh no. You had your fun, a real good run, I know. Oh, Joe. Joe, 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 it's time to go, go, go. You're just so status quo.
Was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys. I got hairy legs, and I love kids jumping on my lap.
Poor kids are as bright as white kids, but they can't take the same buses. Why can't unwanted massages ever be a debate topic? You'd win them all just like the brawl with Corn Pop. You're no outsider, just a liar. Please stop and drop. Joe, 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 it's time to go, go, go. You're so status quo. Both friend and foe know you're a no-go.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear word.
He'll double NASA funding just to cross personal space. Put his foot in his mouth and somehow stay in the race. With policies as unsteady as his capricious teeth. Another milquetoast moderate is the last thing we need. Joe, 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 it's time to go, go, go. You're so status quo. Both friend and foe know you're a no-go. Joe, 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 it's time to go. You're so status quo. Both
always say what I mean.
Yeah.
Went down to Georgia, they were looking for some votes to steal. They were in a bind, cause they're way behind and willing to make a deal. When they came across this loud man with a wife who was smoking hot, Hillary jumped off her high horse, said, "Boy, let me tell you why. I bet you didn't know it, but I'm a politician too. And if you care to take it there, I'll make a bet with you. Now you talk pretty good bullshit to give the devil her due. I bet a wad of cash against your ass to think I'm better than you." Well, the man said, "My name's Donald, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best that's ever been." Donald combed that funky hair and jumped into your car, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the Clintons deal it hard. And if you win, you get this state and all the votes, but if you lose, the Clintons get your soul. She opened up her case, said, "I'll start the show," and fire flew from her fingertips as she grabbed her mobile phone. She dialed a couple numbers and then made an evil hiss, and 30,000 emails were gone just like this. Trump said, "You're a pretty good old girl, but sit down in that chair right there and let me take a whirl. They don't want to tell you where they've been. Hillary gonna lie through her teeth again. Bernie with the White House, save us though. Donald's gonna buy everybody's votes." Hillary bowed her head because she knew that she'd been beat. She laid that wad of cash on the ground at Donald's feet. He said, "Hillary, just come on back if you ever think you're hot. But even Bill showed you once before you ain't the woman for the job. They won't tell you where they've been. Hillary gonna lie through her teeth again. Bernie went to the White House to save us, though. Donald wants to buy everybody's votes."
Hillary lives on down in Chappaqua Town with a big guy known only as Bubba. The Clintons, it is said, left a trail of their dead, including Chelsea's dad, Webb Hubble. We're right to the core, 26 scandals and more. She trudged through the campaign undaunted. But she was not true, there was something askew when the votes of November were counted. Hillary was the pride of the Democrat side as a candidate that was very well seasoned. As baggage goes, she had way more than most, and Republicans were quick to cry treason. including her term with the Rose Law Firm, where dealings were known to be sleazy. And later she learned that's the Arkansas norm, and the lying began to come easy. Bubba's impeachment made a tattletale sign, as Hillary, well, it was tainted. But Broderick, she knew, as Lewinsky did too, that the Clintons were morally vacant. The day finally came, Hillary set out to claim her right to be first woman POTUS. But as Democrats cheered, the corruption was clear in the emails that WikiLeaks showed us. Relief finally came when Comey stepped in, saying not enough evidence to indict you. But later that year, when the evidence became clear, Trey Gowdy said it's been good to know ya. Lies about Trump Hillary made on the stump had not put a scratch or a dent on. And on November 8, it was destined by fate, came the wreck of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Love goes when a stain on a dress is a pop quiz. The president, they say, well, he tried to make hay, depends on what the definition of it is. Lied his way through all the scandals, it's true. Paula Jones, kiss it and wipe water. And all that remains is the faces and names of an illegitimate son and a daughter. The career on the shelf, Hillary now talks to herself in the rooms of her ice-cold mansion. Bubba, it seems, still has young man's dreams of his sexual excursions now behind him. And just down the hall, Hillary plays with a ball. That's all her handlers will allow her. America will be great as the Trumpers celebrate when the votes of November remember.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you listen carefully. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to catch corona. She said, I really hate to give such attitude. Furthermore, I truly hope my social distance isn't rude, but I'll repeat myself at the risk of virus in my food. There must be 50 ways to catch corona. 50 ways to catch corona. You just go out to eat, Pete. Hang out at the pub, bub. Hands don't need to be clean, Gene. Hey, just listen to me. Breathe in the sneeze, Louise. Don't worry about that moist breeze. Just touch on your face, Grace. Share a ciggy with me. Oh, just go out to eat, Pete. Hang out at the pub, bub. Hands don't need to be clean, Gene. It's all cool, you see. Breathe in the sneeze, Louise. Don't worry about that moist breeze. Just touch on your face, Grace. Let's share this ice cream. She said it's all a hoax, that nasty infectious curve. And forget about this social distance if you have the nerve. I said, I appreciate your advice, but could you please explain about the 50 ways? She said, why don't we both just party hard tonight? No respirators needed anywhere in sight. And then she coughed into my mouth, and I knew that she was right. There must be 50 ways to catch corona. 50 ways to catch corona. You just go out to eat, Pete. Hang out at the pub, bub. Hands don't need to be clean, Gene. Hey, just listen to me. Breathe in the sneeze, Louise. Don't worry about that moist breeze. Just touch on your face, Grace. Share a ciggy with me. Oh, just go out to eat, Pete. Hang out at the pub, bub. Hands don't need to be clean, Gene. It's all cool, you see. Breathe in the sneeze, Louise. Don't worry about that moist breeze. Just touch on your face, Grace. Let's share this ice cream.
Stay inside my bed. I walk by him. instead. Mama, life was so much fun, but now I've got this unforgiven place. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make them die. If I'm not
sandstorm.
Security is typing, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo,
don't go to war.
I'm just a poor boy facing mortality.
He's just a poor boy facing mortality. Spurging his life from this monstrosity.
Touch your face, wash your hands. Will you wash your hands?
Bismillah. No, we will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Bismillah. We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Bismillah. We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
We will not wash our hands.
Wash your hands.
Never, 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 never.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, wash your hands.
COVID-19 has a sickness put aside for me, for me, for me.
So you think you can stop me and just shit my hand?
you know this tune. And with what's going on right now in the world, I think you might like it. Alright, here we go. Why did this happen? I don't know. A virus out of control, can't go anywhere. Stuck in my house, people need healthcare. We're shut down. Everything's closed. Don't touch your face or you might get exposed. Stay safe. Stay clean. I really hate COVID-19. Can't touch this. Please don't go outside, ladies and gentlemen. You can't touch this. We literally cannot touch anything. Can't touch this. Alright, second verse. Empty shelves, long lines, toilet paper's out and I can't get wine. Wuhan started it all. Economy's down in stock, markets fall. No crowds, no groups. Wash your hands after taking a poop. Corona virus locked in my room, got me feeling really pissed. COVID-19, this is the year of self-quarantine. Please wash your hands, I hope you like this song. Can't touch this. No groups over 10 people, please. Can't touch this. Alright, here we go. Stay 6 feet away, back up, jobs are gone, talk about bad luck. Social distance, a new term, every day new cases confirmed. The future, uncertain, find a vaccine, then the tides be turning up. It's alright, we ain't going down without a fight, don't worry, don't panic. Let's work together and save our planet. Can't touch this. You can't touch this. Not for real though. Don't touch this.
And can anyone explain to me the need for 1 hour photo finishing? You just saw the fucking thing. How can you possibly be nostalgic about a concept like a little while ago? Another complaint, too many vehicles. There are some families in this country own entirely too many vehicles. You see them on the highway in an RV. But that's not enough for them. RV's not enough. Behind them, they're towing a motorboat, go-kart, dune buggy, dirt bike, jet ski, snowmobile, parasail, hang glider, windsurfing equipment, a hot air balloon, and a small two-man deep-sea diving bell. Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah.
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Fuck hope. Fuck hope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them.
May God bless America.